I blinked, looking up at the hallway before me.
Of course,
I thought. The endless doors and torches stretched out as far as I could see. I shakily got to my hoofs, gathering my limbs under me. Wrath had beaten me so soundly that even this spirit or dream form was hurting. My ears perked at the familiar swoosh of the torch blowing itself out, followed by the creak of an opening door. I stretched, wondering what emotion I was going to meet this time, and trotted into the door. The door opened into open air, a standing frame on the hillside behind me as I stepped through it. I recognized the fields just below Cloudsdale immediately. Amidst the war-torn battlefield, a single purple unicorn filly sat. She was stroking the mane of a stallion laying next to her. I stepped up behind her. I could hear her crying.
Hello?
I said softly. The purple filly looked up at me, tears in her violet eyes. She sniffled, looking back to the stallion. His electric blue mane spilled all over the ground. I realized that he was... dead.
Are you all right, little one?
No, I'm not,
she said quietly.
He's dead. It's all my fault.
I sighed, sitting down next to the filly.
It's not your fault, I said. Shining Armor, he chose this. You know that, right?
The filly nodded.
Let me guess. Guilt?
Remorse,
she said.
I loved him so much. He was a good old brother, but he was hurting. The pink cloud?
I asked. The filly nodded once more.
I didn't mean for it all to end up like this, Radiant Star,
she said.
No sparks out there, and it's all my fault. I messed up. I should have listened to my friends. I should have...
Remorse trailed off, and I could hear the hints of sobbing come from the poor little filly. I put my hoof on her shoulder, holding her close.
No, it's not your fault. It's mine. I should have listened to Lucky and not her. Maybe this whole thing could have been avoided if I had just paid a little attention to Spark,
I said, feeling a little defeatist. I had let Spark out after all. I was responsible for her. Remorse sniffled, looking up at me with fresh tears in her eyes.
Remorse, we can't dwell on the past. Spark is out and I need to stop her. Face told me there was a choice to be made. What choice?
Spark, she's not all bad. There's still some part of her that is pure. Nightmare might have been smart, but there's no way she could have erased everything that was the element of magic,
she said, looking back down at the dead stallion. I nodded. I knew this much already.
So what can I do?
I said, extending a wing over the small filly.
Spark doesn't seem like the type to accept help. I don't know, Star,
she said.
But I know that somewhere in there the real magic is there. You just need to bring her out.
I pondered the filly's words. Was that really the choice I was expected to make? Kill Spark? Or save her? I sighed. How was I supposed to make that choice? Spark was evil. She had nearly killed Violet, and her aspirations to become a goddess could mean big trouble for the Wasteland. How could I even consider saving her?
What if I can't make that choice? What if I can't do it?
I said. Remorse smiled briefly.
Then we may be doomed forever. Equestria needs the element of magic,
she said.
I know this is hard for you. It's hard for us too. We endured the loss of Shining Armor, the betrayal of Spark, and the end of the world as we knew it. Now we need your help to end this once and for all.
I'll try, but I don't know. This is a lot to take in,
I replied. Remorse looked back to the dead stallion and began stroking his mane once more. We sat there in silence as the world faded into blackness. I awoke in bright light, feeling the warm sun on my face. I let my vision realign back into focus, the sign of the museum appearing right above me. I groaned and looked back down at my body. Magical bandages were wrapped around my torso and I felt like death warmed over. I tried to stand and nearly fell over immediately. If it hadn't been for Violet, I probably would have gone face first into the hard stone.
Ugh! Thanks!
I croaked, finally adjusting to the light. My friends were standing around, having built a haphazard camp right outside of the museum. At the far edge of the camp was a smooth.
Where did he go during my fight with Raph?
I thought. He appeared to be hunched over, working on something. I stumbled, getting my footing as I trudged towards the creature. Violet helped me, staying silent as we walked. The smooth looked up briefly before continuing his attention on what he was working on.
Hello,
he said quietly.
Hi,
I said.
Well, we did it. We got out. You're free now.
The thing looked back at me, a smile appearing on his slimy face.
Thank you so much. There's so much to see,
he said. He turned away for a brief moment, grabbing something off the ground.
I made something else for you, to thank you.
He lifted his hands, a small clay figure resting there. It was me and the others. Violet stood proudly next to me on the base of the statuette. Patch and Steeljack were on each side of us. Nixies, Danish, and even Lust were even present. They were perfectly accurate right down to the smallest detail. I smiled at the creature as I lifted it with my magic, placing it into my saddlebags.
Thank you,
I said nervously.
Where will you go now?
Somewhere out there,
he said, pointing out at the vast wasteland.
Somewhere I can see everything there is to offer. I've been stuck for so long.
I nodded.
Just be careful out there. Some ponies might not be too welcoming to you, looking like you do,
I said.
But if you look hard enough, you'll find friendship. It's an incredible thing, but friendship has survived hundreds of years of hate and anguish.
In that case, I'm thankful you are my friend,
the smooth said.
All of you, farewell.
He turned away as he began to trudge along into the wasteland. I stood and I watched as he disappeared off into the horizon. I looked back, grinning at my friends widely.
Let's go. Phyllis Tower is just in the center of the city,
I said confidently.
There isn't any time to spare.
I took a confident step forward and my foreleg crumbled under me. Pain shot through me as I fell to the ground. I groaned, hearing laughter behind me.
Sweetheart, you've been out for several hours after some serious injury. You need to rest,
Violet said. I grunted in reply. I wasn't about to argue with her. My body ached all throughout.
Fine,
I said, rolling myself over so I could at least see her. She had a smug grin on her face.
But as soon as I'm up and able, we're going to find Spark.
Her grin disappeared, replaced by a serious expression as she nodded. I looked over at Danish. The cream-colored unicorn had been talking with Lust as he met my eyes. He trotted over and sat down next to me.
Darling?
Danish,
I replied.
I assume you'll be getting back to the MMMMM now?
Nope, I'm going to come with you, the stallion said. My eyes widened. I reckon that you need help, and what you're doing is really important. If this spark is as dangerous as you say she is, then not just Chica Cold, but the wasteland is in grave danger. And to be quite honest, I like this city. I sighed.
Thank you,
I said quietly. Danish grinned.
I know that you must miss your gang, though.
I'll be honest, Star. I do need your help with the boss. Things are getting a little crazy there, the unicorn said somberly. But I think this has to come first. The boys should be able to keep this cake from collapsing while we're taking care of Pride. For that matter, if things go wrong, the boys can handle themselves. They did before me, and they'll do so again if I die.
Rather morbid way of looking at it, isn't it?
I said. Dana shrugged. It's the way of the wasteland, darling. Ponies live, ponies die. It's the way things are, he said. I hung my head for a moment. You all right?
Yeah, just a lot on my mind, you know. This is just
too much, I said quietly. If you had to make a choice, one that you knew had the potential to cause a lot of hurt no matter what you did, would you do it?
Sure as shooting would, Danish said.
I cocked my head at him. Why? I asked. How could you make any decision?
Because you have to. Because, no matter what, you can't not make a decision. Even if you stood there and did nothing, you're still making a decision, he said. That's what choice is.
My eyes widened. I realized that he was right. Regardless of what was going to happen, I would have to make this decision. This choice would have to be made.
I hadn't thought of it like that. Thank you, Danish, I said.
The cream-colored stallion nodded as he stood and trotted off. Soon I was left alone as the rest of my friends handled the guarding of our makeshift camp. Violet joined me before too long, snuggling up close to me as night began to fall. As I lay there, I felt a bit better. The pain in my sides had begun to subside at least.
Violet,
I said after a few moments of silence. My mare friend looked up from beside me.
I wanted to thank you for standing up to Raph, for believing in me.
She smiled, coming in close for a kiss. She pulled back after the soft embrace.
You're welcome, she breathed. I would do anything for you, you know that, right?
I nodded, feeling very vulnerable at that moment.
I know,
I whispered.
I just really appreciate it. I so love you.
We all love you, Star, Violet replied.
Just never lose face. We are right behind you, supporting you all the way.
She nuzzled my neck sweetly and I let myself fall into her. We stayed that way for what felt like forever, locked in each other until we fell asleep. The next morning found our little band in much lighter spirits. I was finally able to stand without falling over. The injuries I had sustained in my fight against Raph were healed enough that I was capable of traveling. Not wanting to waste any more time, we packed up our things and began making our way back towards the city. As I walked, I realized just how far away the museum had been from Chickercold. As I looked back at the massive building, I could see a sickly-looking lake in the distance. It glowed a green sheen in the morning light. To our immediate north, Coulterfield loomed over us. I shuddered, thinking about the arena and Raph. I hoped not to go back to that place any time soon. We walked along, finally coming to the edge of the ruined city within a few hours. I decided that I had enough silence after a while, clicking on the radio to see what was going on in the city proper. The rough and tumble voice of the Minotaur greeted our ears.
Yeehaw, it's time again, kiddies, for the Morning Moo Madhouse with your host, the one, the only, the Minotaur. That's right, my friends, it is I, the Minotaur, bringing you all the hottest news in the Chickercold area. And boy, do we have some news for you. It seems our good friend, the Ministry Mayor, has been seen. The Mayor herself was last seen escaping Coulterfield after fighting the leader of the Cult of Iron Will. Later on, something big went down at the old museum, and the Ministry Mayor was at the heart of it. The terror of the museum has been broken, and she survived to tell the tale. Good on you, Ministry Mayor. I want the story straight from the pony's mouth next time you stop by. In other news, the political background of Chickercold is heating up. The Lotus Triad is making deals and alliances with the other gang's folks. There's also shake-ups with the Cowpones. It appears the old bastard the Bullfather has finally kicked the bucket. The gang now has a new leader, a shadowy figure we only know as Cowface. The gangs themselves have kicked up their activities, taking their slavery operations to the next level. They've taken over a few of the small factories within city limits, forcing their slaves to work to get them up and running. Cowface has some aspirations of grandeur, it seems. And with that, we are off and running with the smooth, rockin' beats of the Rolling Pones. See ya on the flip side, kids!
A smooth, chunky beat filled our ears as we stepped onto a ruined street. The city was ominously quiet. Philly's Tower loomed in the distance, a black monolith standing over the rest of the ruined city. It called to me, beckoned even. There, just below the tower itself,
was stable 180 and pride. Spark was just beyond that. I didn't know what would happen when we got there, but I knew that I was going to have to figure it out.
No more running, I thought. No more avoiding.
I was ready, but the choice I faced weighed heavy on my heart. A hoof on my shoulder brought me out of my thoughts. I looked down, seeing Violet smiling up at me. I nodded and we continued on, moving onto a street that Violet's book had called the Magnificent Mile. Meragan Avenue. Once a thriving center of commerce, it was now a ruined path of concrete and asphalt. Rusted hulks of skywagons and ruined travel carts littered the road. The shops that lined the street were in a state of perpetual disarray. Gang graffiti splattered over every inch of wall space. What struck me as odd, however, was how still and quiet it was. There was no noise, not even the persistent howl of the wind that we had gotten so accustomed to in this city. A check of my EFS showed that I was right to be paranoid, as several red blips appeared on each side of the street.
"We've got company,"
I said, motioning around us. Violet had already floated out Thunderflash. Before any pony could get a shot off, gunfire streaked across the street, dust and debris flying into the air. I ducked behind a nearby skywagon and lifted Stargazer, firing towards the source of the sound. The sharp retort of Parabellum sounded off behind me and I heard the gurgle of a dying pony falling from a nearby store. Patch whooped a victory cry as more gunfire rained down upon us. I couldn't see where they were firing from. Only my EFS showed that the red blips were directly on each side of the street. A glimmer of silver flashed from above and I caught a glimpse of one of our assailants. It was a dirty white earth pony raider, his crimson mane styled in a mohawk. A slick black leather jacket rested on his shoulders and a battle saddle with a hunting rifle attached was attached to his back. The stallion shouted wildly with insane glee and took aim. Before he could get a chance, however, he exploded in a shower of gore. I grinned over at Danish, smoke rolling out of the barrel of his carbine. The cream-colored stallion took cover next to me, a grimace on his face as he looked up at me.
"Fucking hellraisers!" he shouted. "What the fuck do they want?"
I cocked my head at him.
"Hellraisers?"
I asked.
"They're a bunch of raiders who think they're a gang," he replied. "Otherwise known as hellraisers. Fuck, there's rat roaches that have more sense than these stupid fucks."
A flash of silver fire struck the side of the store front that the gunfire was coming from, punching a hole into the concrete. I growled as I stood, lifting my gun into the air and dropping into ESATS. I couldn't see a damn thing, so I just cooed up numerous shots into the store windows. Time resumed and Stargazer fired. I could hear shouts from within the store. The front door of the shop exploded open and I heard a swoom noise. A silvery apple hit the ground at our feet.
"Grenade!"
I yelled, instinctively tossing the death apple as best as I could. The grenade got about half my length away before it exploded, still caught in the haze of my telekinesis. Shrapnel dug into my sides and I grunted in pain. Luckily, I was the only target it had caught. A shot pinged off the ground in front of me. I looked up just in time to see a bloody blue-coated raider charging at me, his assault rifle aimed right for my head. I flared my horns, throwing up my alicorn shield. The stallion, being as dense as Danish said they would be, charged right into the shield and hit the ground hard. I took a brief look around the street. The rest of the gang had poured out into the dubious safety of the storefronts, engaging my friends in tight little knots of battle. I leapt into action, lifting Stargazer as I moved. The minigun meted out hot, fury justice against our would-be assailants. I had to admit, Danish was right. The Hellraisers weren't very smart, and they didn't seem very interested in talking either. When they did speak, it was usually to spout profanity or scream wildly. What was also interesting was they all seemed to be Earth Pony stallions. There were no unicorns or pegasi, no mares in the ranks of the Hellraisers. I took out another member of the Raider Gangers as I made my way through the melee to Violet's side. My mare friend was busy with her own battle, taking on two of the stallions at once. Thunderflash made quick work of them and I brushed up against her.
"Like old times?"
I said, grinning. Violet smiled back and nodded. We stood back to back, firing in tandem with each other. Meanwhile, Nixie's was violently ripping apart pony after pony, growling almost musically. I admired the controlled ferocity that the Hellhound could sometimes channel. Steeljack and Patch also fought side by side, the couple playing off each other's strengths. Lust was working with Danish, ripping limbs off any pony that threatened him while he worked his way across a battlefield. The fight was going well, much better than I had feared initially. That was when another set of shots rang out, a third group joining the battle. A flash left a charcoal black unicorn right in my face, a combat shotgun held in her magic. A sharp grin was on her face as I recognized her as one of the Lotus Triad's enforcers.
"The Triad and the Hellraisers working together?" I thought. "This can't be good."
The unicorn made a hoof gesture and more of the Triad's enforcers began to appear intermingled with the raiders. I heard a snicker from above. I looked up, seeing the familiar face of Lotus Petal standing on the top of the nearby storefront. The battle stopped for a moment as I noticed the Triad enforcers training their weapons on me and my friends. I knew at that moment we were outclassed and outnumbered. The Hellraisers had drawn back, clearly waiting for the Triad to act.
"Well, well, Ministry Mare," Lotus Petal said. "We meet again." "Lotus Petal," I called out to the pink mare. "What's the matter? Couldn't get enough of me?"
"Psh, please. We still have unfinished business, you and I," the pink unicorn said. She grinned widely. "Besides, I still have your other ear to finish off."
She lifted a cruel knife in the air with her magic, waving it as if she was taunting me.
"I don't think so. I've got far more important things to deal with at the moment," I said. "If you recall, I kicked your sorry ass last time."
Lotus Petal cackled wildly at this.
"If I recall correctly, you spent most of the time talking to yourself," she said. "No, we're going to finish this little game. You and your friends are mine."
I growled under my breath. I needed a way out of here. A little pony in the back of my head told me I should just end Lotus Petal. Then at least this would all be over. Another little pony chimed in and I took a deep breath. No, I couldn't just kill her. I had to be better than that. I had to do better. I looked over at Violet. She was panting hard, barely holding onto Thunderflash with her magic. A glimmer in the sunlight caught my eyes. I smiled.
"Yes, that will do,"
I thought as I reached inwards and touched my magic. I only had one shot at this. My horn began to glow and Lotus Petal's eyes widened.
"A fucking killer! Don't let her—"
she said before a massive crack cut her off. Steeljack's rifle echoed across the street, blowing a hole in one of the nearby enforcers and drawing Lotus's attention. The distraction was enough to give me the second I needed in order to cast my spell. My horn flared and the magic released, and the world fell away into nothingness. It reappeared a few moments later, and I smiled.
"Did it,"
I said, releasing my breath. I looked around me, noticing the confusion on the faces of my friends. I winced at the pain in my horn. The teleportation had taken a lot more out of me than I had realized. I slumped to my haunches, grunting as I fell over.
"Star!"
I heard a voice call out. Violet was next to me immediately. I could see a mixture of concern and surprise on her face. I smiled weakly.
"Hey,"
I said, looking up at her.
"We got away, right?"
She hesitated and then nodded.
"We did it, thanks to you," she said.
My love smiled and helped me up. I groaned in pain as I looked up, seeing where my spell had landed us. A golden globe towered above us, and I got the distinct impression that we were up somewhere high. I grimaced, feeling the pain in my horn once more.
"Wow,"
I heard Lust say. A low whistle emitted from the mare's mouth. I followed her gaze, seeing the whole Chica Colt stretched out before us. The words Equestrian Sun Times were etched on the side of the ruined globe. I had somehow managed to teleport us onto the roof of a very tall building. In the distance, Philly's tower loomed over the middle of the city.
A quick glance behind us revealed that we were more than a few streets away from Morrigan Avenue. The sun hung low in the sky, gilding the city with a divine touch at odds with its ruined nature and fractious inhabitants.
"Well then, nowhere to go but down,"
Steeljack said, breaking the silence finally. I nodded. The low throbbing of pain in my horn told me I wasn't casting a teleport spell like that anytime soon. Pet bounced behind him as we headed towards the only door on the roof. It appeared to be locked, but Lust made short work of that with a swipe of her wing blades. We filed into the tiny stairwell and I walked along with Violet supporting me. I smiled as she floated out a Med-X, jabbing it into my side. It helped. A bit. The pain was still there, but it was lessened considerably. The stairs ended at a door that had been chained up. A slash later and the chains fell to the floor, clattering loudly. I checked my EFS, but nothing more than the green blips of my friends appeared. I nodded at Lust. She pushed the door open and we stepped into the hallway. The hall was dusty and it definitely looked like it hadn't been touched in over 200 years. Blackened skeletons lay on the floor every few feet. Ponies from the world before the mega spells dropped. At the far end of the ruined hallway was another set of stairs that went down into the main office level. The offices were completely barren. It seemed like the ponies had tried to move either up to the roof or even further down when the end of the world had happened. I stepped forward, being helped along by Violet as I slumped down to my haunches. Pain shot through my head.
I need to stop, I said, breathing hard. I have to rest. I...
It's all right, sweetheart, Violet replied, sitting down next to me. I think it'll be fine if we stop here and rest for a bit.
The others nodded as they moved further out into the office level, checking to make sure that we were indeed alone. I sat there in silence next to Violet, leaning into her and sighing.
Thanks, I said. I guess a teleportation spell really hit me hard.
I chuckled at the silliness of something as simple as magic burnout hitting me this hard. Why had it hit me this badly? The fight with Raph, the stunt in the stairwell and this teleport. That was quite a workout, but it shouldn't have hit me this hard. I lay my aching head against Violet as the others came back into view.
It's clear, Danish said to Violet. There's some elevators, but they don't look like they work. We're gonna have to hoof it all the way down.
Great,
Lust said, rolling her eyes.
Remind me again why I'm following you still.
Because you're afraid Pratt will find you and kill you,
Patch casually mentioned. Lust growled.
Shut up, she said.
I glared at her and she instantly shut up, her cheeks flushing red.
I mean, sorry.
Patch sighed.
It's fine, the Green Mare said. I'm sorry too, friends.
She stuck out her hoof. The Pegasus smiled weakly and took the hoof.
Friends, she said.
I smiled. Maybe things were looking up after all. I watched as my friends spent their time setting up a barricade in case we were attacked. I struggled for a bit with boredom, trying to keep myself occupied while I rested. For a little while, I pulled out Twilight's diary, reading through her old friendship letters to the princess. I came upon the final entry once more, sighing deeply, Twilight's words cut across the pages like a knife. Was she really in so much pain that she felt there was no way out? I let my gaze drift over to my case of memory orbs. There was still one more I hadn't viewed. I looked over at my friends. They were busy discussing the plans to get to the bottom of the building. I felt disconnected. I hadn't been able to pay attention to anything. The throbbing of my head distracting me from even watching my friends.
Violet,
I called out. My mare friend looked over, smiling. My eyes moved to the box of memory orbs. Hers followed mine, locking onto the box and then back to mine. She nodded slowly. I moused,
thank you,
and opened up the box. The final memory orb from Fort Knowledge sat there, taunting me. What secrets did it hold? I was about to find out. I latched onto the orb with my magic, letting the world fall away into nothing. The the body of my host was different. It was the same as my normal body. I was an alicorn.
Wait, if I'm an alicorn, that must mean...
I saw it as everything around me came into focus. I was sitting at a table in a long dining hall in what appeared to be the palace. My host smiled politely at the servants that stepped forward and took my plate. Seated across from my host was a familiar purple unicorn.
So you see, Princess, I have it all planned out. We'll coordinate with other ministries to get this project completed. I'm sure it will mean big things as we work towards the end of the war.
Twilight Sparkle said as my host looked over at her. I was Princess Bucking Luna.
Ow! Luna was reclusive during the war. Why would she have ever agreed to have a memory extracted?
I thought as I realized that my host hadn't exactly been listening to the other mayor.
I'm sorry.
My host's deep and powerful voice echoed across the room. Luna's guest pressed her ears back, looking a little distraught at my host's lack of attention.
Forgive us, Twilight Sparkle. We were... lost in thought.
It's all right, Princess. We were just discussing the Megaspell project, you know, the one that the Ministry of Peace came up with.
Twilight said. My host pondered the unicorn's words for a moment.
You wish to research the concept further?
Luna said finally. Twilight nodded.
Then you have our blessing to do so.
What are the reports from the other ministries on their progress?
Well, Applejack's Steel Ranger program is just getting off the ground, but it looks very promising. I think I speak for every pony when I say that it has a lot of potential to save a lot of ponies' lives.
Twilight began.
And then, of course, there's Rainbow Dash's ministry. I'm not exactly sure what she's doing, honestly. Pinky's just... Pinky. I'm slightly concerned for her, to be honest.
Indeed, we shall have a talk with Pinky Mina at our earliest convenience.
My host replied. The alicorn pondered for a moment and continued.
Twilight, how fares your brother?
Twilight's eyes widened at the mention of shining armor. She stammered, trying to get the words out.
He's fine, the lavender unicorn said. Why do you ask?
My host raised an eyebrow.
We are concerned for General Armor's health. I am concerned for you, Twilight. You have let this disease, this affliction of his dominate your life,
Luna said.
We wish to ensure that you are thinking this through clearly.
Twilight sighed and looked up at the Princess of the Night, a mixed expression of fear and confusion on her face. She took a few moments to recompose herself and began to speak.
I am thinking this through, Your Highness. I told you before, I am quite certain that I can find a cure,
she said with confidence. Luna smiled.
Don't worry, Princess, I have everything all completely organized.
We have faith in thee, Twilight Sparkle. When all is said and done, you will be regarded as one of the great heroes of Equestria,
my host said. Twilight saluted and stood up from the chair she had been sitting on.
Thank you, Princess,
she said.
I won't let you down.
She turned and stalked out of the main door of the dining hall. Luna sighed as she watched her go. I felt my host stand, looking at the bed pony guards near the door.
Leave us,
she said, her voice filled with power.
We wish to be alone now.
The guards looked at each other and nodded. They left the hall, leaving the Luna maiden alone. Luna took out the window of the dining hall into the night. Her horn glowed and the windows opened, letting in a cool breeze across her midnight coat. I felt the alicorn shudder slightly at the touch. She was about to turn away from the window, but something stopped her.
Well, well, look at pretty Princess Luna.
A cold, dark voice echoed in the back of my host's mind. Luna spun about.
Show yourself, fiend!
She shouted. The voice cackled wildly. The alicorn scanned the room for any sign of the intruder.
Come now. You don't recognize me,
the voice continued. My host sneered, turning about once more to face her foe in the flesh. Another alicorn appeared in the room before her, this one a solid black pony with blue steel armor.
You,
Luna said.
What are you doing here, Nightmare Moon?
The other alicorn chuckled lightly.
I would have thought you of all ponies would have been happy to see me, Nightmare replied.
She trotted past the Princess of the Night, looking out the window briefly.
I trust you are well.
My host glared at the other alicorn.
How we are is of no consequence to you, fiend, Luna replied. I repeat, what are you doing here? The last time we saw you, you were being run off by the Elements of Harmony.
The Elements of Harmony, Nightmare Moon said.
Did you really think that those pathetic relics would have any real effect on me? I escaped, you fool. I've been here all along.
What do you mean? My host asked.
How did you escape? Simple, really. I just hit at the right time.
The black alicorn replied as she trotted past the Princess of the Night. Luna scowled at the other alicorn.
Of course, I've had to do a bit of masquerading to stay hidden, but soon I won't have to worry about that much longer.
The war, my host said.
You are doing?
Nightmare Moon chuckled lightly.
No, while I would like to claim that I started the war with those silly superstitions the zebra carry about us. No, you ponies are to blame for it right from the start, she said. No, I will claim responsibility, however, for Celestia's little protege. What have you done to Twilight?
Luna said, anger rising in her voice.
Oh, you know, a push here, a push there. She really believes in the work she's doing, you know,
the Nightmare said.
Did you know she has an idea on how to turn regular ponies into alicorns? An entire army of creatures just like you and I. Can you believe it? How delightful she is. You will stay away from Twilight Sparkle, fiend!
Luna challenged, locking eyes with the other alicorn.
Oh, we shall end thee! Please, you couldn't end me if you thought really hard about it, Luna,
Nightmare said, rolling her eyes.
The only reason I'm revealing myself to you now is to gloat. Soon, with Twilight's help, we shall rule Equestria. Now then, I'm afraid I must take my leave of you, my dear. So many things to do, so little time.
She grinned widely, her fangs showing clearly in the soft light of the torches. Her horn glowed midnight black as she disappeared into the cold night. My host snarled as she spun about, storming out the door as the memory faded away. I came out of the memory feeling quite disoriented, but at the very least it seemed that my headache had gone away. Violet lay next to me, reading over the history book on Chikarkold. I stirred on my bedroll, drawing her attention. My other friends were mostly sleeping, Nixies silently patrolling the perimeter of our crude encampment.
Hey, she said quietly. Everything all right?
I nodded.
It was strange, I said.
I started to explain what I had seen in the memory, mentioning explicitly the parts having to do with Twilight.
Nightmare was responsible for corrupting Spark. I don't know what to do, Violet. Is there something good in there? Or is she truly evil now?
Violet sighed.
I don't know either, Star. It sounds like the only way to know for certain is to confront Spark directly, she said.
Don't worry, we'll get there. We are not far away from Philly's tower, at least. Did you know the construction of the tower itself goes deep into the foundation of the city itself? It's all here in this book. Does it say anything about the Megaspell?
I asked curiously. Violet cocked her head at this.
What Megaspell? She replied. Well, while Spark had my body under control, I sort of had some company. Lucky was around,
I said, pulling out the figures that the Smooth had given me.
I see, Violet replied. Is she still around?
I shook my head.
No, and I'm worried about her. I think Spark might have done something to her or driven her off. I don't know,
I said, shaking my head sadly.
Anyways, Lucky told me that there's some major mega spell that's in Philly's tower. It was some sort of defense spell.
Violet looked at the book again, murmuring under her breath.
No, nothing here about that, but then again, this book probably wouldn't have any info on something that secret, she said. Being a ministry project and all, I don't know. We'll just have to watch out for it, I guess. Do you think Pride has access to it? I doubt it. Lucky had said it was in the tower and that the Minotaur had it. I'm sure that even with the stable underneath the tower, he keeps it well under wraps. I just hope he doesn't use it, I said.
The sun began filtering into the office windows and the rest of our motley crew began to awaken. I stood, feeling whole, healed and rested. I looked to my friends and grinned widely.
Every pony ready?
I received nods of affirmation from my companions. We moved forward as one as I kept a close eye on my EFS. Nothing showed up as we descended into the stairwell down to the next floor. It seemed like the pre-war ponies that designed this place made it so that you had to progress through each floor to get to the next one. I silently wondered if that was intentional. The next floor was bare as well, no signs of bodies or skeletons. There wasn't even any rubble or debris. It was extremely confusing.
Maybe there weren't that many ponies working here on the day the mega spells dropped,
I thought as I stepped into the cubicle farm. I didn't get 5 steps in before a turret popped out of the ceiling. Instead of bullets, however, it began spraying magical beam fire at us. I growled, putting up my shield and raising Stargazer. The laser beams struck the magical shield, harmlessly bouncing off. I fired, punching a large hole in the metal casing of the turret. It exploded in a flash of red fire, spraying metal and sparks all over the floor. I dropped my shield and stepped forward.
Every pony keep a close eye on the ceiling. I have a feeling that won't be the last one of those we'll see,
I said.
Danish, take up the rear. I'll hang in the center and throw up a shield if we run against anything else.
The cream-colored stallion nodded and hung back behind us, floating along his carbine rifle with his magic. We moved into the hallway leading to the next set of stairs. The hall was the same quiet as the Miracle Mile had been. Too quiet. Amazingly enough, nothing happened at all as we made it into the stairwell. We trotted down carefully to the next 2 floors, watching for any more turrets or security systems. Each floor was just like the rest, barren.
What happened here?
I thought as we continued forward. I pushed on the door for the 3rd floor with my hoof, finding that it was locked. I flared my horn, blowing the lock of the door with telekinesis. Behind me, Violet chuckled quietly.
I do have to admit, my love, you do have a way with locks.
Wah!
I said, looking into the doorway. This floor, it was far different than any of the others that we had seen. The floor was solid black, outlined by soft white lights. Gray terminals lined the walls and several large monitors were clustered in the corners. The most noticeable thing about this floor compared to the others, though, was the fact that there appeared to be no exit. No door to any other stairs, no elevator, nothing. I stepped in, putting my hoof down on one of the black tiles. The room lit up immediately as the floor changed from black to white. The terminals flared to life as well, lines of code scrolling down the screens. A black and white pony appeared on the monitors, his crimson eyes the color of blood.
Ah, the Ministry Mare and her friends, welcome, it said, grinning with gleaming white teeth.
I shuddered when I realized they were sharpened, jagged and pointy.
I want to play a game.
Game? Where are we? What is this place? Who are you?
Patch said. The black and white pony chuckled loudly.
Who, me? I'm no pony important,
the black and white pony in the screen said.
Now then, shall we begin? The rules are very simple. If you win, I'll let you go free. If you lose, you'll all die.
And how exactly are we supposed to win?
I asked, snarling.
Do I get to shoot you? Please tell me I get to shoot you, because I have someplace important to be and you're in my way.
Oh, impatient, are we? Right then, well, let the games begin, and good luck to you,
the black and white pony said, grinning widely. The floor flared with a red light, black walls rising out of the tiles. I cried out along with my friends as we were separated. The room was a maze now.
how fucking big is this place?
I thought as I stepped forward.
And what is with pre-war ponies and space-time distortion? So fucked up. Is every pony all right?
I called out, hoping they could still hear me.
Star, is that you?
Violet called back. I pounded on the side wall, trying to make a dent in it.
I'm here!
Patch yelled. Steeljack and Danish called out their affirmations as well.
Nixies is here, Ministry Mayor. I have tried to slash the walls, but they seem to be resistant to my claws.
The Hellhound shouted.
Lust is here too, sexy.
Lust called out from another side of me. I sighed. At least the others were okay for the time being.
Every pony, hold on, I'm gonna try and teleport us, I said.
A deep chuckle erupted as I started to flare my horn.
That's cheating,
the voice said. The monitor at the far end of the first hallway flared to life, revealing the black and white pony. His red eyes remained impassive as he grinned widely. As you were just cursing, this is a space-time distortion, my dear. A teleport out of here would leave the lot of you as more of a pile of sausage than a group of ponies. I growled.
What the fuck are you?
I shouted. He chuckled madly.
That's the fun part of the game, he replied. Now, are you going to play or am I going to have to end the game prematurely?
I glared at the screen.
Star, I don't think he's bluffing. We'll see each other at the end of this,
Violet called out. I sighed, moving forward down the hall. The long hall ended in the sharp right turn, taking me down another long hallway that ended in a fork. The monitor in the center of the fork illuminated. The black and white pony grinned at me from it. I was really starting to get sick of seeing that face.
Well, my dear, now time for our first challenge, he said. Before you lies two paths. One leads to the truth. The other leads to lies. It's up to you to decide which is the proper path.
That's not a very good riddle, I said. Which one leads out of here?
There's no fun in just telling you, the black and white pony replied. However, I am sporting and will give you a hint. The truth is hard, sometimes the lie is easier to believe. The path on your left will lead to the truth. The path on your right, the lie.
I paused, considering the pony on the monitor. There was something amiss with this, beyond the obvious weirdness of a space-time distortion in an office building. It was naggingly familiar, but I couldn't put a hoof on it. I decided to head left, trotting along the hallway. It ended in a large open room with the same red light-up tilings that I had been walking on. However, in the center of this room was a large bank of monitors. It lit up as I stepped in and began to play some sort of video feed. I heard Violet's voice come from it.
I hate you!
My love's voice rang out from the screen. The image was of me and my friends. Violet was shouting at me.
I never want to see you again. I hate you too, my voice rang back. And I never want to see you again either. Fine. Fine.
The ponies and Hellhound around us walked off in separate directions. Violet glared at me and stomped away. The image on the screen distorted as it flickered out of existence. I stared at it, wondering what it meant.
I would never yell at Violet like that,
I thought.
Oh, I think you might, a voice said from all around me. You wanted the truth. The truth is, this is the future, your future.
That's impossible, I said shakily. I would never...
Wouldn't you? The voice continued. You and your friends are bound to fail. In the end, it will tear you apart. Are you sure that is what you want?
I started pondering his words. Were we really bound to fail? Was the end result of our journey the end of our friendship? The end of everything we'd ever worked for?
I
started to say.
I don't.
That's right, you don't. And you never will, Radiant Star, the voice replied.
I blinked.
Wait, I never told him my name. How?
I thought.
Oh yes, I know who you are. But do you know who I am? If you can figure it out, then you'll win the game. I'll even let you skip the other challenges, which is a shame. The pit and the pendulum is always fun, and a sack of vipers is so hard to come by in the wasteland.
I
couldn't say much else, my voice having caught in my throat. The vision on the monitor had already rattled me. I was afraid. Afraid of losing Violet, of losing my friends. Afraid of Spark and her vision for the wasteland. I was still no closer to figuring out what I was supposed to do with the element of magic. Forcing myself to focus on the task at hand, I trotted forward into the next hall. This thing, whatever it was, knew who I was. Granted, lots of ponies knew who I was, but only as a ministry mayor. This thing had called me by name. I started to wonder if maybe Pride had gotten wind of us being in the city, and if this was just one crazy mindfuck dream she had cooked up. At least I sincerely hoped that was the case. I turned down the next hallway, trying to rack my brain and figure out what was going on. The thing had said that this was just one big game where we were supposed to win. But how? How was I supposed to figure out who or what the thing was? None of this made any sense whatsoever. I stopped for a moment as a stray thought entered my mind.
Sense, of course, that's it. None of this makes any sense.
I thought as I came into the next room. In the center of this room was a pedestal where six stones sat. My thoughts drifted back to the museum and the Fox Elements of Harmony. The six stones in this room, however, were made from the same type of glowing tile as the rest of this place. Each one was colored based on its bearer. At its center lay the element of magic, glowing a bright lavender. The Elements of Harmony, pathetic relics of the past. They've done your race no good. The black and white pony said from the monitor. The center element went dark as I stepped up to the pedestal. Without magic, the rest of the elements will wither and fade. Without a spark, there's no light to guide their way.
More riddles,
I said, looking up at the monitor. The black and white pony chuckled. Cold, hard fact, my dear. Pony kind put all their faith in the bearers of harmony. And look how well that ended up for every pony, he said. No, my riddle and the second challenge is as follows. The spark goes out and hope is lost. Ignite the spark and find the way forward. Three tries are yours to make. Fail and thus seal your fate. I looked intently at the pedestal. The fox elements were beginning to fade in color. I focused on the center element, the one that was dark. I picked it up with my telekinesis, hoping that maneuvering around the rocks would steer some sort of reaction. Nothing happened. I set the rock back down on the others and walked around the pedestal.
Is there some sort of trick to it?
I thought, trying to process the riddle in my mind.
Ignite the spark? But how?
I thought. The pony in the monitor leered at me as I focused hard on the rock once more. I opted for a shield spell this time, wondering if I could force a fox element to spread its magic to the others. A shiny purple shield appeared around the darkened element, but once again nothing happened. I growled, feeling very frustrated with myself as I tried to figure out what to do. I had been so sure the shield spell would do it, but all I really had succeeded in doing is placing a shield around a rock. I dismissed the spell, leaving the darkened element lying on the others. One more try, the pony on the monitor said mockingly. I glared at it.
I know, just give me a minute,
I muttered under my breath. I studied the rocks closely. The material they were made of was the same as the flooring. Upon closer inspection, I noticed that each one had a cutie mark engraved upon it. The darkened one held the cutie mark of Twilight Sparkle. I closed my eyes and mulled over the monitor pony's riddle. If normal telekinesis didn't work and a shield spell didn't either, maybe just any sort of magic could do it. What would happen if I simply charged the rock with a bunch of magic at once? It was worth a shot. I opened my eyes and set to work. My horn glowed and I began to fuel as much magic as possible into the rock. With a spark of light, the rock exploded, spreading its light to the other spheres.
A shuddering noise met my ears and I looked up. The next hallway had opened up. I grinned at the pony in the monitor.
"Piece of pie," I said.
The black and white pony simply sneered at me, saying nothing. I frowned.
"So a loser,"
I thought. I wondered what the others were being subjected to. I had my suspicions and I believed I knew who was doing all of this. With nothing else to do in the room, I moved forward into a maze of halls, twisting and turning. Pretty soon, I was sure I was lost. I turned down another hallway, finally coming to a final room. It was the same room as where we had started in. The black and white pony leered at me from every monitor as I stepped in. I knew it was time. Time to move to the endgame. "So, you find yourself from whence you came. You know what they say, you cannot go back again," the creature rhymed. "Do you have a guess for me? I do so love guessing games."
"You know, it took me a little bit to figure it out. I can't believe I didn't see it before," I said, glaring at the pony on the screen. "What do you want now, Discord?"
The black and white pony's eyes widened and a toothy grin appeared on its face as the eyes changed colors from red to a pale yellow. The thing expanded out of the monitor, growing a long snake's tail as its body stretched and expanded. In moments, the god of chaos and disharmony stood before me.
"Well played, Radiant Star,"
the beast snorted.
"I had hoped you would figure it out, given our past history. Again, what do you want?"
I asked angrily.
"You know my power is no longer here. You must have sensed it. So why are you here?"
Discord paused in thought for a long moment. I shuffled my hoofs angrily, not willing to aggravate the unpredictable chaos god,
ha,
any further.
"A test,"
he said finally.
"You see, I've been tracking your efforts for some time, so yes, I'm quite aware of magic's exodus from your body. I, however, am interested in you, my dear."
"Me? Why me? And what test?"
I said.
"A test of your resolve, O fairest of all mutant creatures,"
Discord said, chuckling madly.
"I had to see whether or not your heart was still in it. I nearly thought I broke you with separating your friends from you and showing you the vision of your future."
"But that wasn't real, was it?"
I replied. The beast slithered around me, grinning widely. The different textures of his hide on my fur made me shudder.
"Oh, but it was. That was just one possible future that awaits you. You corporeal beings are so blinded by your linear concept of time. Every thinking being and a few that don't have the power to change their future. Time is not a river, like your ponies sink, but a storm of great chaos,"
the god said, springing from my back. Discord landed in front of me in a rain slicker and two different sized rubber boots, a skeletal umbrella clenched in his hand as storm winds whipped a gust of chocolate rain over us. I leaned into the wind, shouting to be heard over it.
"What do you mean we all have the power?"
I bellowed, into sudden silence. Discord stood, unclosed, holding his ears and wincing.
"Why all the yelling, Radiant Star?"
he asked plaintively, before tossing me a wink and crossing his arms in front of him.
"Like any pony, Radiant Star, you are the captain of your own ship of fate, to horribly abuse a metaphor. The vision I provided of your future is certainly a possibility if you neglect and mistreat your friends."
Discord launched back on a throne that was suddenly there, a misshapen construct of wood and concrete.
"In short, Radiant Star, you've already passed 4 tests in my little game. You chose the correct path, you didn't let a possible future stray your course, you solved the little riddle of the elements, and you deducted me. All in all, I'm quite impressed."
"If you're so impressed, why don't you get us out of here already?"
I said. The beast laughed, laying crosswire on his throne and kicking his legs joyfully over the edge.
"What fun would that be? No, I wanted to see you sweat,"
Discord said, grinning widely.
"Your friends did just as well, although none of them figured out who I am. They should be arriving in 3, 2, 1.
The god snapped his fingers and in a flash of light my friends appeared around me. They looked confused as to where they were. Violet glanced up at the spirit and her eyes widened.
"D-d-d-d-Discord?"
she said. I put a hoof on her shoulder.
It's fine, take a deep breath. He's not here to hurt us, are you?
I said, smiling. The god chuckled madly, slithering about the room like a snake.
Indeed, my dear Radiant Star, you and your friends shall be free to go, but I have one final riddle before I leave. One which you will have to ponder well.
Discord said.
A heavy choice awaits you in due rhyme, one which will affect the very course of time. Choose wisely or the world will burn.
A choice? I said, reflecting back on my thoughts of Spark. I will think about it. So that's it then? No epic struggle between us? No fight to the death?
No, my dear. The best part about being a god of chaos is that I don't have to be predictable. It's in the name, even. Take care of yourself, Radiant Star. We shall meet again in due course of time.
The spirit of chaos said.
Now then, ta-ta!
Discord snapped his fingers and a flash of light engulfed us. Soon the world was gone in bright, unending light. I opened my eyes and the world coalesced around me. I looked up, seeing the sun in the sky. We were standing in front of the Equestrian Sun Times building in the courtyard. My friends were on all sides of me, staring in confusion. We stayed there, silent for a few minutes.
What just happened?
Lust said finally, breaking the silence.
Discord, I said flatly. Spirit of chaos and disharmony.
Really now, Danish said. I thought that was just old Hulaboo in them old pre-war books, you know, scary stories to scare their fools into behaving.
No, he's real all right, and he just keeps getting weirder and weirder, I said as I began to look over my friends. Now then, is every pony all right? All body parts in place? I wouldn't expect Discord to leave us untouched.
The others began to check each other out, but nothing seemed to be amiss. Why had Discord appeared to us like this? What was his angle? Did he still want my power? Thoughts of my previous encounter with the spirit of disharmony swam freshly in my mind.
According to my map, we are just a few blocks away from the center of the city and Philly's tower,
Violet said from beside me.
If we hoof it, it shouldn't take us more than half an hour.
I nodded.
All right then, let's get going, I said.
We began to trudge along towards the looming black tower. While we walked, I explained to Nixies, Danish and Lust about our first meeting with Discord. As we drew closer to the center of the city, a tight feeling crept up into my chest. Soon I would be confronting Pride. Not just Pride, but Spark as well. I still wasn't sure what my decision was going to be, but I knew I was going to have to make it soon. I pondered Discord's riddle. The world would burn based on my choice. We walked in silence as we finally stepped into a massive clearing. All around the blackened tower, the buildings in its immediate vicinity had been reduced to mere rubble. The ground was charred and the air was thick with the smell of burning. The tower held itself over the entire area, a monolith of pure blackness that seemed to dominate everything. I looked up at it, wondering what was going to happen next. Philly's tower, Pride, Spark. A choice that would affect the entire world. Everything was falling into place and I was ready. I would not let my faith in myself or my faith in my friends falter again. Discord was right about one thing. I had not let myself fall apart in his presence. I couldn't afford to fall apart again. I wouldn't. I would be strong and sure and true. Supported and surrounded by my friends, I would march right into the gates of Tartarus to stop Spark for good if that's what was needed. No pressure, right? Footnotes. Radiant Star, level up. Perk, Faithful Filly. Your faith in your friends will carry you through any situation. While in the company of your friends, you gain +10% DR. New spell, Teleport Rank 5. Your teleportation skills are now Princess Luna Legendary. You can now massively teleport up to 6 other targets long distances. Your targeting, however, still needs some work. Violet Iris, level up. Steeljack, level up. Patch, level up.